And we start off with none other than the man from Football Australia. He's the head of commercial and events. His name is Tom Rishbeth. Welcome, Tom, and delighted to have you on board.
Thanks, George. Thanks very much for having me, and good to be here.
It's always terrific to catch up with smart young South Australian boys who have had a tremendous sporting career. They understand legacy. They understand the enormous reach that sport has. And you've taken another level. You went overseas to sort of ply your trade and extend your business interests, and you ended up creating some magic. Just take us back and give me an idea of what was in your head when you left the country after a career in football, and thinking to yourself, look, there's got to be another way to make a quid.
Oh, thanks, George. Look, I'm glad you touched on the South Australian patriotism at the start of the call. I'm a proud South Australian growing up in First Murray Bridge in the Adelaide Hills. I actually played Australian rules football as a kid and spent a lot of time playing that game, and went to university, did a law commerce degree, got a job as a lawyer, but always had in my head that, you know, I love sport, so working in sport would be pretty cool. Just didn't really understand how to necessarily do that. But I in my role as a lawyer at Minter Ellison, sort of came across a few people and was starting to think, oh, well, maybe I'll try and get an in-house lawyer job at a sporting organisation and do some tribunal stuff, and wouldn't that be fun? But I got a very lucky break, to be honest. I ended up going over to London to join Judith Griggs, who's actually my aunt, but also worked for a long time in Formula One. And I always knew that I had a family member that worked in Formula One, and I thought that was pretty cool, but didn't spend a lot of time with Judith sort of professionally. But at a fortunate lunch meeting when she came back to Adelaide for a week in September 2013, we had a chat about life and career paths, and she also began her life as a lawyer, and I told Judy what I was sort of planning to or thinking about doing, and she rang me back a month later and said, well, how about you move over to London and help me start up a sports rights business. So I didn't really have any idea what that meant, but it sounded like a wonderful opportunity. I looked at my girlfriend at the time and said, what about going over the other side of the world? And we landed in the UK back end of 2013. I worked with Judith for nearly 7 years. She started a business with another gent, an English gent who'd worked in music and entertainment. And I had a incredible education in sport, music, entertainment, commercial rights, working across a whole range of different industries and different countries and different regions, and started off, you know, rocking up not a lot of an idea of what was going on, but just listening to others in meetings and sitting there and biding my time and absorbing, and ultimately felt that I got a really good, you know, grounding in sport and entertainment. And ultimately we made the decision that we want to move back to Australia. My wife and I have got a young family, and was keen to work in a sport that was global and local. And the biggest and best one of those is football. And I was very fortunate to land a role at the FFA.
Listen, that journey that you just took us on, is one that mirrors so many other wonderful, smart businessmen and women who've taken a similar path. But you grew up in South Australia. You knew the power of Formula One. You had seen how it had transformed Adelaide at the time when it came, and it woke Australia up to motorsport in a way that it hadn't happened for years. I think Brabham, the great champion, world champion driver, was the last person who had excited Australians. But when the Grand Prix came to Adelaide, the possibilities for business and events just exploded, didn't it? And you were right there as a youngster watching those possibilities.
Absolutely right. And I think that's the beauty of sport, right? It attracts global eyeballs. It's major events, major sporting events capture the world's attention. And yeah, whether it was when Adelaide proudly had the Grand Prix and then it's moved to Melbourne. Yeah, one of the, and actually Judith, who I worked for, she was the CEO of the Australian Grand Prix Corporation when it moved to Melbourne. And one of the first things that she and Ron Walker did was paint the word Melbourne on the top of the pit building. and no one had really thought of that before, but you've got a global broadcast going out to the world, and that's, you know, at that point, free advertising. And I think, yeah, that is the beauty of sport globally. Yeah, we've just had what was an absolutely incredible Olympic period after, yeah, a horrible, incredibly difficult emotional, physical, mental time for so many people around the world. And there was a lot of conversations around whether or not it should happen. But, you know, certainly in Australia, I know it brought so much joy to people to be able to tune in and watch these inspiring athletes in the Olympics and Paralympics. And yeah, it was certainly incredible from Football Australia's perspective with the performances of the Olaroos and the Matildas. But yeah, sport is just unique. And whether you're an athlete, whether you're working in on the business side and the media side and the whole high performance side, I think it also attracts a really incredible group of people that are passionate about it. And I certainly love working in this industry.
And you're right there with the pause button and the press button ready to go, because in less than 2 years, we've got a World Cup coming down under.
Yeah, it is incredible how sort of quickly we've moved from prior to the bid happening. And as you said, George, we're less than 2 years away and it's all starting to happen at warp speed. The FIFA Women's World Cup 23 entity and sort of hiring process is going ballistic. I know that Jane Fernandez, who was previously on the Football Australia team, who's now Chief Operating Officer for the World Cup entity, is, I think, getting hit up by about 5,000 people a day looking for jobs, which is unsurprising. But it's such a major opportunity. And look, we see it as, it is going to be the biggest moment in Australian sport since the 2000 Olympics. And what we at Football Australia are hell-bent on making sure comes of it is that it has a really long-lasting effect on the game. And we're doing a lot of work on legacy for that World Cup to make sure that the game of football for men, women, girls and boys is really put in a great spot for 10, 15, 20 years after this event in 2023. But it's so exciting for so many people that have worked for so long in the game to have it coming here. It is a bit scary. It's less than 2 years away. FIFA have still got a Men's World Cup to get away before then as well. But for everyone in Australian football, I know that a lot of people are really looking forward to that moment, and hopefully it'll bring a lot of football fans and football people a lot of satisfaction to have Australia and New Zealand hosting such a major event in the global sporting world.
Speaking of the Matildas, in light of your remit in the commercial area, Tom, I mean, the Matildas are blessed to have some not only extremely gifted players, but extremely marketable athletes in that squad. And you think about Sam Kerr, doing a backflip on any advertisement you can name, Steph Catley, Ellie Carpenter, the list goes on. But what is Football Australia's role in bringing some of the other players in the squad up to that level of household name? And where is the next Sam Kerr or Ellie Carpenter coming from in a kind of marketability commercial sense? And does Football Australia have a role in growing the profile of the younger Matildas players who are coming through?
Yeah, Josh, great question. And glad you asked, actually, because the answer is yes, absolutely. A number of things that we're doing in the commercial program at Football Australia are very much focused on enhancing the profile of not only the brand and the team of the Socceroos and the Commonwealth Bank Matildas, but the athletes within it. Everyone continues to talk about, some of the heroes of our teams in years gone by. We've got heroes currently, but we've got heroes that are coming. But for Football Australia's perspective, the athletes are the ones that are putting on the show, and we want them to be really well known. That's good for the game locally and globally. And we're obviously very fortunate. We've got some incredible talent in both teams at the moment. Yeah, Sam gets a huge amount of attention. But what we're saying, and probably a slight strategic shift with our commercial focus, and what we're really working hard with our existing partners and future partners on, is that we really want them to be proactively marketing their relationship with us, and we're really pushing them to do as much as possible to put the faces of our players on television commercials, on billboards, on unpacked packaging. And that's something that we probably haven't done as good a job of in years gone by, but it's really exciting that, it might seem like small things, but from day one of Commonwealth Bank's relationship with us, they've got a national out-of-home campaign with, a celebratory shot of the Commonwealth Bank Matildas that is struck up on highways and billboards right across the country. Now, I wish there were a few more people in their cars at the moment seeing it, but that type of activity is really important for us, because especially with women's sport, the harsh fact is that only just over 10% of sporting media at the moment is focused on women's sport. And we feel very, very fortunate that we happen to have the national sporting team, the national women's sporting team, that is arguably the pioneer and the leader in terms of bringing fans into women's sport and women's football. And our partners like Commonwealth Bank are doing an incredible job to change that mantra of, you know, well, if you can't see her, you can't be her. And these athletes quite rightly inspire many people at the moment, and we want them to continue doing that. And part of our commercial strategy, especially around the Commonwealth Bank Matildas, is that we want to ensure that those 23 players that are selected in the squad for 2023 are household names prior to the World Cup, not afterwards. And it's not just the Ellies and the Stephs and the Lydias and the Sams, but it's the entire squad. So we're pushing our commercial partners to do more. They're thankfully doing it. Again, small plug for Cadbury. If you're in picking up a block of dairy milk this month, look out for the Alana Kennedy Matilda's Cadbury blocks. Commonwealth Bank are doing a great job. Yeah, our new broadcast relationship with Network 10 is all about really building the profile of our athletes as well. And yeah, they have obviously taken the live rights for much of our content, but we've got some really wonderful commitments from them to push football into their other broader entertainment network offering, which is really exciting for the sport and something that we haven't had as much of in the past. So there's certainly a number of, levers that we're really starting to pull, Josh, to try and ensure that the profile of the senior players in both teams, but also, you know, those that are on that next path are getting comfortable with having their faces, you know, shown around the nation and around the world.
And getting the appropriate media training to make them very much capable of taking advantage of every door that opens and every opportunity that presents itself. It's a very exciting time. Tom Rishbeth is our special guest on FNR's State of Our Football Nation. He's the head of commercial and events at Football Australia. It's a seriously exciting time. And as he just mentioned a moment ago, right on the cusp of one of the most exciting events to come down under. It'll be one shared by Australia and New Zealand. And already we're hearing from men and women just how excited they are that the World Cup is coming down under. And we'll be talking to a young woman very shortly who's at Melbourne City. And she's had a bit of a scare with a sporting injury. But she's on the comeback trail and she's fired up, and she'd love to be in the reckoning when the time comes and they select that final squad for the Matildas in 2023.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking to Chelsea Blissett very soon. Last one for you, Tom, and it's a nebulous question, I know, but it's all our listeners seem to want to know about. National second division this, national second division that. I won't ask you whether it's happening or when it's happening, because that's not your remit, but what do you think of the national second division as a proposed kind of commercial product? How do you sell that to a corporate audience? Because, you know, there's a real old school element to the NSD. And I think that obviously we keep hearing it needs to be commercially viable, but what does that actually mean from your perspective?
Yeah, Josh, great question. Look, I know the National Second Division is such an incredibly passionate area of focus for so many football people in Australia. I think it's an interesting question. As you said, the reality is that sporting competitions need to generate revenue. You need to have fans attending. You need to make sure that the numbers stack up from an early start to make sure that we can, you know, have long-term success. The way I probably look at it is that, you know, there's a couple of other things that have been happening in the game in the last 12 or 18 months that are quite important as well. And obviously, you know, the unbundling's occurred, and, you know, what that allows is that there's different roles and responsibilities in the game now, where APL can really focus on driving and lifting the professional leagues, and they're going to do a great job with that. Football Australia's remit, you know, now allows us to work even more so on building iconic national teams brands, working really closely with the member federations and our community stakeholders. But also, you know, one of the key things that come out of unbundling as well is that, you know, the FFA Cup becomes this really important competition that, you know, in my mind, has been incredibly important, but to an extent has probably not been able to have the attention that it could have because of the construct of how the game was run and administered. So, you know, Football Australia is putting an incredible amount of work into lifting the FFA Cup and making it what should be, you know, it already is the most significant grassroots professional sporting competition in this country. It's a huge funnel of football fandom. It's something that football fans love, that cup knockout competition that is known around the world. That's really exciting. Network 10 have bought into our plans to grow the FA Cup. And I think there's also some linkage there because it is obviously the current link between the professional leagues and NPL and other clubs. And, plans to lift the FA Cup hopefully also allow us to consider, how best does the National Second Division fit in within the football framework? But I think the plans and work that we're putting into the FA Cup as well and growing the profile and the commercialisation of that competition also help us consider how a possible NSD might work as well. But there's certainly a lot of goodwill in the game to make it make it happen. We obviously as Football Australia need to make sure that we're considering all stakeholders' views and make sure that if it is going to happen, it's done in the right way. But it's definitely something that's it's been fascinating for me in my short time in the game for 18 months to learn more about, understand different stakeholders' games. We've had some great discussions about it, and I'm sure it will continue. And I know you've got an incredibly loyal and passionate fan base listening in as well. What I would say is that I'm not a traditional football person. I grew up in Adelaide. I played Aussie rules in cricket, but I'm actually loving being part of this genuine new era for the game in Australia. And I think there are so many things that are going on at the moment that are going to place this game in a really great spot in the long term. And that's super exciting to be a part of. And I hope the fans of the game are really feeling that goodwill and that change at the moment as well.
Thank you very much for joining us, Tom. And we look forward to catching up with you again as more and more of this new era takes shape and we start hearing about more exciting events just around the corner.